This is WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello, you're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Greetings, greetings. May the Lord continue to bless you. Kind of wanted to talk a little bit today about, you know, the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is so instrumental in so many ways, and I don't know if he always gets the credit, right? I mean, I think sometimes we think it might be because of our own strength and abilities, or sometimes the Holy Spirit is so smooth at doing things. I just want to make sure that we differentiate and don't take the credit, right? Don't steal the credit. Amen. And so, I came across this on the website, on the internet, and it kind of was talking about, the things that the Holy Spirit does. And I'm like, wow. That would be a great subject. And why I think so is because, the Lord told us that he sent us another comforter, right? That he had to die. He had to ascend so the comforter would come. And I'm like, it was so important that we realize, right, that God sent the Holy Spirit. I mean, they labored in the upper room, you know, until the Holy Spirit rested upon them. And I remember when Jesus was being baptized, right? And as he came out, you know, they say that the Father said, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased." And then the dove that represented the Holy Spirit came and sat, you know, on him. And you think about that. And I'm like, okay, that's not a bad thing to know. Right? We need to know what's in our arsenal, like what comes with this, you know, with Christianity. Well, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, right? So, I mean, it's best to kind of know. It's almost like you buy something, you know, from Amazon, and it came with instructions, right? Like we think sometimes we can put together these complicated gadgets and bikes and, you know, and without reading the instructions. I mean, I went to IKEA and brought this shelf that, oh my gosh, it had so many pieces and it just seemed overwhelming. You couldn't figure it out with the natural eye, but oh, ta-da, there is instructions. And the instructions lay out all the pieces that are involved with putting this together, right? And you want to make sure that when you're at the end of it, you don't have these pieces still in this package, because that means it will not withstand the strength and the test when you don't put it together. But we don't always know how to do it. So thank God for the instructions. And then I'm thinking, like, we're citizens of a new kingdom now, and we really don't know how we are put to, like, how do we walk this out? Like, I kind of figured out how I need to walk out the world, like, to live life and to be part of this world. But I don't always know how to master being a citizen of a new kingdom, right? Where he said, be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So I'm transforming into something else, into another mindset, right? And I don't know exactly always how to best do that. Well, you say my heart is despitefully wicked. I get it. But at the same time, it houses my will, my emotions, you know. And so therefore, how do I cleanse this heart of mine? I don't want it to be a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And I heard David said, "Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit." And so I get the fact that there's a helper that we have, that we don't have to be bumping around in the dark if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit. So there's things that the Holy Spirit comes to do for us. And so I want to start in John 16. John 16 and 8 says, "He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm like, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? How many of you have tried to, you know, convict your child or your spouse? You know, you try to lay it on them, and, you know, I'm just shooting you the facts. I'm just putting it as I see it, you know. And you think this is going to bring change in a person. And oftentimes it doesn't bring the change that you think, but it literally brings resistance. And you find that people tend to do the opposite of what you're saying. But the Holy Spirit comes to bring that conviction, right? To make you feel like, you know, I'm not saying bad. Conviction brings about change. And we want change. We want our loved ones to change. You know, we don't want to be convicted, because that conviction will bring that change. Sometimes, you know, people say, you know, I'm going to change by willpower. And if they're not careful, right, you know, they'll be right back in it, you know, that thing. But the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. So we want to bring them to the Word of God, right? We want to try to bring them to salvation. I was funny because I was reading in Acts, and we see that the Holy Spirit fell on people while the word was being preached. You know, that's, you know, that's an experience. That even as the word is being preached, people were being convicted and lives were being changed instantaneously. And that's what we want to see. In John 16:13, the Bible tells us that that he guides us into all truth. And so the Holy Spirit is a guide. He guides us in all truth, right? And we know that the truth is going to set us free. And so we know that we want truth according to the Word of God and not according to our feelings and definitely the flesh, right? He said, there's no good thing that dwells in this flesh. And so we don't want to rely on the thing that God says, you know, there's nothing good there, you know, that you got to try to be transformed from all the inputs that you have been, you know, raised with, if it was outside of the contents of the Word of God and holiness. So, and then he also regenerates us. John 3:5-8 says that he regenerates us, you know. And so I'm going to turn to that and read it. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Amen. "But wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof." But sometimes, I mean, we can't not tell where it's coming from and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And as you read on, you find that, you know, Nicodemus asked, you know, the question, how can these things be, you know? And Jesus told him, you know, look, he said, "Verily, I say unto you that we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. And if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And so he comes to rejuvenate us, to change us, you know. And I'm just grateful so that we will be born again. Amen. Excuse me, I have this little cough here. He also comes to glorify and testify of Christ, you know. He reveals Christ to us and in us. He leads us. And so as we look into Romans 8:14, He leads us. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we definitely have to be led of God, right? I try to, like, in my own thoughts and mind, simplify it. And I try to simplify it. It says, you know, there's two voices. I mean, either God is leading you, and if he's not, then we can assume it's, you know, the enemy leading you. And whether you find that enemy to be the flesh or to be the devil, you know, to be your emotions, that unhealed emotions, triggers, past traumas. Okay, but we don't want to be led by those things. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, right? And when you, once you give your life and your heart to God, you know, guess what? We don't want to return back to bondage. We don't want to return back to those old ways and natures. Matter of fact, it's funny because we don't have to receive that bondage again because literally we've been adopted. And you'll find that in Romans 8 and 15. And it says, but you have received the Spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. And oftentimes I find that people struggle with that fathership, especially if you didn't have a good role model of a father, or if you grew up without a father, maybe you're a single parent, a mom. And so you struggle with that. I heard somebody shared with me that they cannot receive the Holy Spirit of God because it references a male type spirit. And so, you know, anyway, I was listening and she stated that, you know, because she's been harmed and raped by men, then her view on the father and the authority to submit to a male authority or to submit, you know, to God, she can't do it. And so we see that a lot. But if you could just, you know, yield and think about that, that we have been adopted and wherefore we can cry, Abba, Father. And in verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, you know. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to bear witness with our spirit, right, to help us understand that we are the children of God. And if you're children, right, and you've been adopted, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so that that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I mean, verse 18 is so, I love it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's why preachers kind of sometimes tell you, I mean, I know you're going through some hard things, but try to see past it. You know, try to see yourself going through it. You know, it's like, hey, I want to get to the other side. I'm on this side and there's like this flaming fires that I got to get through it. And I could, the longer I stand there thinking about how I'm going to get through it, it's just giving more opportunity for the flames to even grow wider and stronger. And so you just got to get through it. And when you get through it, or look at it like a tunnel, you know, in the beginning, you may not see no light, but if you just keep walking, soon you'll see light at the end of the tunnel. And if you find yourself in a dark space, you know, don't trust me, but trust that we serve a God who said that he will never leave you or forsake you. So you're not in that tunnel alone. And I also am reminded of the scripture that tells us that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And even though I may not see what's at the end of the other side of the tunnel, rest assured, this light and this lamp on my feet is going to light up that one step at a time. One step at a time. And if you keep taking that one step in Christ at a time, guess what? He's going to lead you through the tunnel and out. These sufferings that we're going through are not even going to be worthy to be compared what we're going to receive. And I don't mean necessarily even when you die, right? Oh, we will have eternal life. Then he went to prepare mansions. But I am resting on the fact that even in this world, this side that we're on, he's going to get us through it. That we're not walking alone and that we have the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how. You just have to trust the process, because you can't make a script up. It's not a formula. Because what he does with one person, he may do it differently with another, you know, but he uses all things, all people. He's not limited by anything. We're limited. He has a view that we just simply don't have. If I was lost in a forest, I want to be able to hear the Holy Spirit as he leads me out. He has a helicopter view and I'm on the ground. On the ground, things just seem repetitive and you could be walking in circles. But when you have that upper view, you see the whole picture and you're able to be guided, you know, take a left here, go around that tree, go down that rocky hill, and you'll be able to get to safety. So he leads us. He's the one who helps us realize, the Holy Spirit helps us realize that Christ is in us, right? Because that's like a far-fetched thought sometimes. You know, he said, I'm in the Father is in me, and I'm in you. Like you can't really get the depth of understanding that that sentence has without the Holy Spirit. And now I'm realizing that sometimes, you know, you ever talk about a scripture, you talk about an experience that you had, and other people can't see it. They don't understand. But yet it was so powerful and it brought you through. You know, I heard a woman's testimony. That's how I got really saved and really, like, you know, on this journey, is because I heard a woman's testimony who was like identical to what I was going through. And so when I heard this testimony, I was like, wow. It left me with the thought of saying, if God is able to help me, her, then he's able to help me, right? And so it allows me to be able to push through. We can push through from somebody else's story. Like, I don't know, when I was growing up, I didn't have to always experience what everybody experienced. Because I watched. I'm an observer. I watched how some people went through something and what the result was, then, you know, especially if it was negative or trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not copying that. I don't even want to be around it to even potentially be summoned when you get caught, you know? So that's kind of like me. It's like, wow, I don't think I want to walk disobediently, especially when I read about in the Bible, that people who have not obeyed the Lord, the hardships that come about when not being obedient, you know. And so I'm like, well, I don't want that. I don't want that result. And so that would quickly sometimes shift you, you know, to have a different response. And so another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he sanctifies us. And we're looking at 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. And it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Like, he chose us through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But we are bound to give thanks always to God. And I like to look at it like this, too, is like, you know, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Well, 1 Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I mean, through sanctification of the Spirit. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It's like I almost can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You know, the whole goal is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? But when God said that, he wasn't saying that we're alone in the process. And sometimes when I sit down with my planner and I'm planning out or mapping out some things, my job is to make sure that I am resourcing, it may be the wrong word, but that I am partnering with the Holy Spirit. And, so let's look at Romans 5 and 16. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. 5 and 16, he sanctifies us. He also empowers us. It's like, could we possibly be empowered in the things of God without the Holy Spirit? Well, let's take a look in Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. In the power of the Spirit. I want to say it until we can see that thing and feel that thing. That Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region and round about. And he began to teach in the synagogues and being glorified of all. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us in a way that brings about change, not only in us, but those who watch. You know, I realize that sometimes ministry isn't always about talking, but it's how you live your life. And you want to live your life in such a way that people say, how are they bouncing back like that? Like, how are they doing that? You know, he empowers us. So what have we learned so far? We might have to do two parts. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He guides us into all truth. He regenerates us, right? He glorifies and testifies of Christ. He reveals Christ to us and in us. He leads us. Every step, he's leading us. He sanctifies us and he empowers us. My prayer this week is that we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent here to do in us, for us, and that we don't grieve. I remember the scripture. Boy, I tell you, I remember just being in my kitchen, just rocking, saying, Lord, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to stop the Holy Spirit from accomplishing what it is. But I sometimes get caught up in how I think it ought to be. Or when I heard the Lord put something in my heart that it had to look like this, you know? And then you'll find people to co-sign that it has to be done this way. I really felt like the Lord was giving me this ministry of healing and deliverance, right? But the only way I've ever seen healing and deliverance done was, you know, you had to be on stage and you preached out and you get a line of people and you lay hands on them with oil and they possibly could be changed and if they would, allow the Holy Spirit. But is that the only way? I mean, that's definitely a way if you want to reach masses of people, and that would be cool because it gives more people an opportunity to hear the word and to have the opportunity to receive Jesus and to have them, the Holy Spirit empowering them. But it doesn't always have to look that way. So if you're not on the store, be a deliverer in the store. Be a deliverer wherever you go, but mainly be a deliverer at home. Be a deliverer to yourself. Be a healer. Being able to give people hope and light when they're in a dark place is a form of deliverance. And that I find myself doing every day. I want people to understand, don't allow the enemy to beat you up and to beat you in a corner and to shut your mouth. No. You're so loved. If you only knew. If we only knew. And so I'm going to leave you with my favorite scripture, one of my favorite. As the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercy never comes to an end, but it is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You've been listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Blessings.